more intimate walk. Thank you, Jesus. And that does not always feel good. That usually does not feel good because the Lord knows what kind of stimuli it takes to draw us closer to Him. But God wants, He wants more of us. He wants more of, He wants us to sell out in the world. The term sell out isn't a good term, but here in the church, it's a wonderful thing to sell out and give your all to the Most High God. You know, and that's what He wants from us. He wants everything. He deserves everything. Amen. So, little background. I was born in East Milton, a little background to what we've been talking about last week. Zechariah, the priest of the Lord. Him and his wife were advanced in age, and Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they prayed. They sought the Lord. They wanted a baby really, really bad. One day, Zechariah has this wonderful privilege to serve the Lord in the temple. And as he's in this holy place, worshiping God, doing what God has called him to do, an angel of the Lord appears to him on the right side of the altar and says, Zechariah, the Lord has heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. Zechariah says, well, how can this be? Because I'm old and my wife is old. And he was doubting God's provision. He was doubting God's power. He was doubting God's commitment to him, you know? And so the angel, Gabriel, says, you're not going to be able to speak till the baby's born. Yeah, it's kind of harsh, right? Well, you know, I think it's like where much is known, much is required. You know what I mean? And God expects some of us, God expects all of us that have been Christians for many, many years, you know, to allow the Lord to mature us and strengthen us and grow us into that next level. Amen? So, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, does conceive, and they're going to have a child, which will be John the Baptist, who will prepare the way for the Messiah. 6 months later, little Mary gets a visit by the same angel, Gabriel. Thank you so much. Gabriel appears to little Mary and said, you got God's favor. God wants to use you for something really, really big. And the angel says, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus, which means God saves or Yahweh saves. That's what we're picking up. Luke 1:32-38. He will be great, talking about Jesus. This is the conversation with Angel Gabriel and Mary as it continues. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let's go to the next slide. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We need you. Thank you that this church belongs to you and operates in all the gifts that you want us to operate in. Thank you, Father God, that we are a church that is running closer to you, Lord. That our cry this holiday season, this Christmas time, is to want more of you and less of ourselves, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and your will being done. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in the church building said, thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Look with me at Luke 1:32 on your bulletin, the good book or the monitor. Luke 1:32, and he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll be the son of the Most High. So Mary, this statement I'm giving you has nothing to do with you and Joseph's honeymoon. This has nothing to do with Joseph and your coming together. But this is something way, way special. This is the angel says, you will have the Son of God. You are the most important human being in the world, really, Mary, because God wants to use you to bring forth the Christ child. Amen. This is a God thing, Mary. See, up until this point, she just knew she was going to conceive, and she knew the baby was going to be named Jesus. But now, oh, she knows. This is the Messiah. I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah. So he will be the Son of the Most High. And God the Father himself backs this up several times in Scripture. He doesn't just back it up with the three wise men bringing the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He doesn't just back it up with the shepherds coming to worship the Lord. But many times in Scripture, God says, this is my Son. This is the Messiah. Remember when Jesus was being baptized? Remember when he comes over the horizon or comes over the hill, and John the Baptist, his cousin, Zechariah's kid, Elizabeth's kid, when they see Jesus coming over the hill, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what did the angel tell Joseph in the dream? Joseph, his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then when Jesus gets baptized, we have one of these really interesting verses in Matthew 3:17, because what we got here, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one place. And behold, this is Jesus coming up out of the water, starting his earthly ministry. And behold, a voice from heaven, God the Father, said, this is my beloved Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit descends like a dove on him when he comes out of the water. So we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So this is the Father giving the approval of his Son, Jesus Christ. But this is also the Father confirming, don't let there be a doubt in your mind, this is my beloved Son. This is the Son of God. Mary, you are going to have the Son of God. Jesus wasn't just a great teacher. He doesn't fall in the category of some great guy in history. But no, this guy changed history forever, forever and ever. He changed our eternity. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. So Mary, this child will be the Son of God. The Son of God. And it says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Well, Gabriel, what is it? Is he the Son of God or is he the Son of David? Because in this part of the verse, it says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Well, let's understand something. That Joseph is going to adopt Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? We know the story. He marries little Mary. And so when he marries little Mary legally, Jesus Christ is now connected or is out of the house of David, just like Joseph. Remember, Joseph is from the house and the lineage of David. That's why when the census took place, Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. So now Jesus, by law, is the son of David as well. Can I get a witness? So what we have going on here, in the fullness of time or the perfect season when God says now is the time, we have all these Old Testament prophecies converging, all coming together. Remember, Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law. He had to keep the law perfectly, and he had to fulfill the prophecies. Amen. So either he will fulfill the prophecies or the prophecies have already been fulfilled. But it says the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David. Joseph, his adopted father, is out of the house of David. So by law, Jesus Christ is out of the house of David. Look at me, 2 Samuel 7:12-13, 2 Samuel, because This is a really interesting thing, talking about the prophecies, these promises that God gives, is God made a promise to his servant David a long, long time ago. Remember, so Jesus is the son of David. Remember blind Bartimaeus? You remember the story about blind Bartimaeus? When he knew Jesus was coming close, he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me, son of David." This is one of the names of the Messiah. 2 Samuel 12 and 13, God gave a promise to his buddy David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, that means when you're dead and they bury you, David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of David. And God keeps his word, church people. You know, this promise he made David was a long time before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But God does not forget his promises, and God encourages us. Don't forget his promises. Don't let the weight of what you're going through, amen, don't let that keep you from having joy and peace, overflowing, you know, with joy and peace, because God is a God that does not lie. He cannot lie. Amen. He's not like us. Give the Lord some praise. Jump with me to slide 3, please, slide 3. So you guys are on slide 3. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's the Son of David. Luke 1:33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. So he's the Son of God. He's the Son of David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. So what does that mean? What is that talking about? So we go back to the beginning of the Israelite people, or the Hebrew people. You got Abraham. You got Abraham. And God said to Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Just talking about Jesus Christ. Through Abraham, we get his son Isaac. And through Isaac, we get Jacob. And interestingly enough, God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And through Jacob, we get the 12 tribes of Israel. Through Jacob, we get the Israelite people. Or through Jacob, we get God's people. But don't be discouraged this morning, church people, because you are God's people. You are God's people. Can I get a witness? This isn't something that's just going on and you can just observe it, but no, you are involved in this. You are God's children. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, listen to me, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you fall into the category of being a child of God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what's in your blood. It doesn't matter what your birth certificate says. None of that matters. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you've accepted him, you're in the family. 1 John 4 and 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of just one group of people. Now, it doesn't say that. And we have, and aren't you glad? And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You're blessed this morning, man, because if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ, and you got to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow, like my brother Scott says, because tomorrow's not promised to you. I didn't think that Francis was going to leave us so soon. I didn't think that a lot of the brothers and sisters a lot of our children. I didn't think they were going to leave us so soon. But God's ways are above our ways, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways above our ways. But listen, this call goes out to the person that has not made that commitment. I do funerals all the time, man, all the time, you know? And we're saying goodbye to loved ones all the time. Make sure you know where you're going to spend eternity, because that's what it's really about. Amen. Look at Romans 11 in verse 17. Hold on, let me re-energize. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now look at Romans 11, 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, what was he talking about there? If some of the branches are broken off from the main tree, guess what happens? They get thrown into the fire because they're no good. But if some of the branches are broken off, these are people that decide, I don't need the Messiah. I don't need Jesus Christ, the Son of David. I don't need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because I do not believe he is the Son of God. Don't let that be you. Because I promise you, you have enough faith. You have enough faith to accept Jesus Christ. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, that's us, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others. So a lot of people rejected Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. Like I said, it doesn't matter what your birth certificate says. It doesn't matter what kind of blood is flowing through your veins. No one can get to the Father unless you go through the Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about being a good person. It's not about being sincere. It's not about somebody telling you that you are born righteous, because you are not born righteous. The wild olive shoot were grafted in among the others. That's me and you. We've been adopted. And now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Jesus. Romans 9:6. I got the NLT because I just like how the NLT explains this. Well then, has God failed? God can't fail. So the problem is with us understanding something. God cannot fail. Well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No. For not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. You know, that's sad but true, you know. But we, that wild, and Lord knows some of us were wild, you know what I mean? So there's crazy stories about me out there, man. I hear them sometimes. Like, yeah, I did that. Kind of. That guy's dead, but yeah, that's something like that happened, yeah. But that's not... That dude's dead. I am forgiven. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. God is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I could just skip half the sermon since my pages are sticking together. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's good news. That's good news, beloved. There's nobody kicking him out after 4 years. There's not going to be any coup d'etats. He's not going to be kicked off of his throne. He is sovereign, and he will rule forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Go with me to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Little Mary, remember that prophecy in Isaiah. You're involved in this, Mary. You're involved in this. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For to us a child is born. That's you, Mary. Talks about the humanity of Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That talks about the deity of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That government's not going anywhere. Amen. But some of us, all of us, and I'm standing in the need of prayer, need to realize that God does not just want to be your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Lord. He says, this is what you need. This is what you need, is to be, have your life submit to me. And that'll keep you from a lot of trouble, a lot of pain. Not all trouble, not all pain, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Amen. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. We have access to the best counsel anybody can ever have. But it's up to us if we want to take it. You know, it's up to us if we want to take it. But like I said, we can save ourselves from a lot of unnecessary pain if we go to that Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. I'm not talking about Allah. I'm not talking about Ganesh. I'm talking about the one true God. I'm not talking about a demon that people pray to. Because, you know, and you know, there's good people that are messed up in bad religions. But, you know, but when Allah, who, you know, God's honest truth, Allah's a powerful demon. That's what he is, you know. So when Allah says, sacrifice your sons, strap a bomb to sacrifice your sons, and maybe you'll get to go to some level. You'll be able to get to heaven. When God, the one true God, the mighty God, says, no, I have given my son. I've given my son for you. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He ain't going anywhere. His kingdom ain't going anywhere. And now our Father, our Heavenly Father, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to go get a jug of milk and never come back. He's not going to get buried in the ground because his life's over, because he is the eternal God. He is the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And man, some of us do not have peace. And I got to be honest, man, I struggle with peace sometimes, you know. I struggle with peace, but you know what? The reason why I struggle with peace and joy is because I start walking away from the cross. I start walking away, and I forget to remind myself about God's goodness, you know, and I refuse to stand on God's promises, because I can have joy. I can have peace no matter what's going on in my world if I just stand on God's promises and, you know, and refuse to listen or yield to the fiery darts of Satan, but yield to the Holy Spirit that says, don't believe that junk. Don't do that junk. Can I get a witness? Look at verse 7. This is a prophecy that Isaiah gave that Mary is living out right now. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And the throne of David, remember the son of David, will be no end, his government, and the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, or the God of heaven's armies, or the one true God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So God has said it's going to happen, Mary. Are you in, Mary? Are you in? God wants to use you for something amazing. You have the favor of the Lord, Mary, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But God will be with you. Emmanuel, God is with you, Mary. Emmanuel, God is with you, Victory Life Church. You know, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. Do you not wish that we lived under a government that was righteous, that was righteous, that was sincerely devoted to justice and righteousness? I'm not, you know, imperfect people run the show, you know? You know, and I'm God's honest truth. I really feel like we live in the best place. God's honest truth. We are blessed to be Americans. We are so blessed. If you don't think you're blessed, just take a look around, man. Look at some of these other nations. Think about being a Christian in Nigeria this morning. You know, or Vietnam or China. But we are blessed people, man. But God's kingdom, an everlasting kingdom of justice and righteousness, that's what we have to look forward to. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. So Mary just got a lot of information. You're going to conceive a son. His name is going to be Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. He will be the Son of God, the Son of David, and he will rule over God's people. He will reign over Jacob. So Mary has a question or two. It's a big life change. You ever have one of those days where it's just kind of normal? And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, everything changes. I mean, everything changes all of a sudden. It's like, man, I didn't know I was going to wake up and deal with this. Didn't see this one coming. Well, in this situation, this is a great thing. You know, Mary's just doing what little Jewish girls do, you know, a 14, 15, 13-year-old young lady. And boom, there's an angel, Gabriel, from the throne room of heaven, says, you got God's favor, young lady. And Mary's like, well, I never really considered myself to, this is a strange way to talk to somebody, Gabriel, an angel. And then Mary says this. And Luke 1:34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Oh, no, Mary's doubting. Like Zechariah, her relative. Because Zechariah doubted. And then the angel said, you ain't going to be able to speak till this happens, till that baby's born. You got some thinking to do. You need to shut up for a little bit and think. That's a sermon right there, amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? But Mary's not doubting. Mary's not doubting at all. She's asking a logistical question. She's asking a question. It's like if Brother Caleb says, okay, here we go. Lord, don't let me butcher this. Okay, I ain't got no car. My car's broken down, but I'm here at church. And Brother Caleb says, hey, after church, I'm going to treat you to some Nim's Garden Chinese buffet. All you can handle. And if I say, okay, what car are we taking? You know, that I'm not doubting Caleb's taking me to delicious Chinese buffet. I'm taking him out as well. I'm just asking a question. Whose car do I go get in, Caleb? I'm down. I can dig it. Mary's just asking a question. Well, it seems awful lot like she's doubting to me. Seems awful lot like she's being like her relative Zechariah. That's not the case at all. You can ask a question. That does not mean you're doubting. Amen. Luke 1:45. So look, Mary gets this information from Gabriel. And her next step, man, she's going to see her relative Elizabeth. She's going to go see Zechariah and Elizabeth because Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy. So Mary goes and sees her relatives. And when Mary walks in to the room, and Mary's already with child. And when Mary walks into the room, Elizabeth is doing whatever Elizabeth is doing. And this is what happens. Luke 1:45. And blessed is she who believed. So the angel said something and she believed it. She didn't doubt it. This is Elizabeth. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Mary heard it, and she's like, I believe it. I'm not doubting that. I mean, here's an angel talking to me. It's kind of crazy, but she takes God at his word. And look, man, that's really a big thing for us. You know, stand on God's word. I know I say it every Sunday, but I'm talking about the difference between joy and peace and not having joy and peace. You know what I mean? Is standing on God's promises over everything else. believing God's word above everything else. Can I get a witness? Man, give the Lord some praise. I'm going to drink some water. So Mary says, how's this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. She's expecting God to do some sort of miracle. She just wants to get filled in a little bit on what's going to happen. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. In other words, Mary, God just needs a willing vessel. God just needs you to say, I'll do this. And that's us. God's looking for willing vessels. He's looking for people like, look at the next verse. Look at Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah, the prophet who we have so many prophecies about the Messiah in his book. And Isaiah has the privilege of being called into service by God personally, where God calls him up to the throne room and he sees all this amazing stuff. And this is what God says to him. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, then I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah, it's not going to be an easy road, but I really need you. There's a big fat harvest, but I don't have a lot of workers because people really like to be saved by the Son of God, but they don't really like to have the Son of God be the Lord of their life. You know, and Isaiah says, I'll go, I'll do it. Here I am, send me. And I've prayed that over some young people a few years ago. And they accepted that call. And I've seen God work in their lives ever since that moment. Not that God wasn't there before, but they mouthed those words in a prayer. Here I am, send me. And I've seen God use them. And I've seen God advance them. And so when you say, here I am, send me, God says, I'll take you up on that because I'm short on workers and I need you. But I'm not qualified. He doesn't need you to be. He's going to equip you. Amen. He needs those vessels that he can use. Well, I want to go and serve the Lord on the mission field in Timbuktu. Okay, great. Start at the mission field in your home. Be faithful in the little things first. Be faithful in your workplace. Show people the love of Jesus. I remember when I had my here I am, send me moment. And all of a sudden I'm from Brooklyn. Some of yous, Brooklyn by way of Munson. Oh. So some of you cats have heard this story many times, but this was my here I am, send me moment. I was having a time of worship with the Lord on my way to work. I was driving into Pensacola several years ago. And just was praising the Lord. And I just, I was on the causeway. In my mind, I'm on the causeway between Pace and Milton. And I'm just praising the Lord, having this time of intimacy with the Lord. And I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I said that. And then I went to work and whatever, and a couple of weeks passed. Brother Fred has a preacher down here, one of his buddies named Jay LaRue from Connecticut. And he was preaching. I was sitting like right there, same row, Sister Claudia and Danny and little Rachel and Hannah are sitting. I was sitting right about there. This guy was preaching, and he's about right here. And he stops preaching, and he looks at me and said, God heard your prayer. And he's going to take you up on that. I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened. And I was like, oh, guys, people went, I was like, what? And here we are, right? You know what I mean? I always thought I'd kind of made a deal with the good Lord. It's kind of funny to think about it. But I was, you know, I was always doing like neighborhood ministry and nursing home ministry and hospital stuff, just, you know, small crowds of people, one-on-one people. And I really felt connections with people. And I really loved doing that for the Lord, which I still do to this day. But I kind of thought God was, when I was saying that, I was kind of thinking, like, I was kind of trying to make a deal like, God, I'll just do this stuff forever. And just don't make me get up here. Please. But God has a sense of humor. Can I get a witness? He equipped the call. Amen. And God is so faithful. I believe in you. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So, little Mary asked a question. The angel says, okay, God's going to do what you can't do. You just need to be that willing, obedient vessel. God will do the hard part. Luke 1:36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. What's the angel doing? Why is he bringing up Elizabeth? I love it. He's saying, let this encourage your faith a little bit, little Mary. Let this strengthen your faith a little bit. You know, your relative, remember the old lady, you know, the old lady that would always give you a cough drop at the family reunions and squeeze your and squeeze your cheeks and you say how big you remember that old lady? She's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. Mary's like, I gotta see this. No, it was an encouragement for her. You know, same for us, man. God always says, when you're going through it, look back and see how he was faithful to you in the past. You know what I mean? So I've been a Christian for 2 weeks. I have no examples of that. Well, then look how God has been faithful to other people in your life. I've been a Christian for 2 weeks. I don't know any other Christians. Then get in the good book and see how God has been faithful to tons of people. God says, look at these examples. Let them encourage you. Go to Hebrews. Look at the hall of faith and see how God is so faithful to imperfect people and how he will use us to change the world. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Because, oh, Psalm 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So just like he was faithful to Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary, he's going to be faithful to you, and he's going to be faithful to Joseph. And just like he was faithful to Mary, he's going to be faithful to us right here at Victory Life Church, because he is faithful to all generations. Amen. And then it goes, Luke 1:36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Luke 1 verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. That is such a precious verse. That is such a precious verse. That has been my favorite verse for so long, because it's when I see my life, I say, well, God can do all things, man. There's nothing God cannot do. Amen. There's a little thing I say, Nancy. I'm hearing really good today. Sometimes people talk back there. I'm like, But you're right. There's this little thing that I say to people all the time, and I say it to myself. Luke 1, verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God, so I establish to myself, my God can do all things. And then I go to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's got the ability. He gives it to me to do what I need to do. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. For nothing will be impossible with God, little Mary. God can do all things. He can't lie, but he cannot fail either. You know, look it up. Psalm 121 and verse 2. Let this encourage you this morning. And this is a fresh verse. We've kind of chewed on this for here and there over the months. My help comes from the Lord because he can do all things. There's a lot that I cannot do. And I'm blessed when I realize I got to have his strength. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Think about that for a second. That's your God, the Most High God. He made heaven and earth. You know, he's holding it all together. He's holding it all together so he can hold my little life together if I would just let him do it. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is in the Greek where they called the nittus and the grittus. What? Honey, I don't think we should go back there. Luke 1 and verse 38. And Mary said, Mary just get all this information. His name is Jesus. I mean, God saves. Your child will be the Son of God, the Son of David. In other words, he's the Messiah. You're going to have the Messiah, and he's going to rule over the house of Jacob. Of his kingdom, there's not going to be an end to it, Mary. That's a lot for a young lady to take in. Can I get a witness? And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Not let me get through high school and college and whatever. No, God says, no, I need you now. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. It was like, okay, peace out. And the angel departed from her. This is what Mary said. She said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will. And that kind of reminds me of her son, Jesus Christ, 33 years later in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he says, not my will, but your will be done, Father. You know, because you know what's best, Father. You know what's best for Mary's life, for Joseph's life, for Zachariah's life, Elizabeth's life, in my life. He knows what's right. And he says, stop kicking and screaming and follow me. Be obedient to me. Let me use you. Submit. We don't like that. No, nobody likes that. But God says, oh, it's so much better if you just submit to me. It's just so much better if you submit to me. He's a good God. Everlasting Father. Oh, and he's got a good plan, don't he? When Mary said, let it be to me according to your will, obviously she had to understand that, well, when Joe hears the news, he could divorce me. He could divorce me, or he could take me out to the edge of the city and have me stoned to death publicly. This was a real possible reality for her. The very least, I'm probably going to get divorced, but very likely I could be stoned to death. She had no idea that she was going to see her son grow up to be a man and be completely misunderstood by so many people and be rejected by so many people. And how many of you know that hurts when you're a parent? You know, when you see your kids going through something. But that's nothing compared to the pain she had to feel when she saw her son nailed to a cross. But she said, way back in Nazareth, she says, I'm your servant. Let it be according to your word. She saw her son brutally murdered. But oh, there was a good plan, wouldn't it? Because she also got to see her son be a risen Savior. You know what I mean? So with our trials and storms and tribulations, and Lord, we got them. We got them. And I'm telling you, a lot of what we're going through is because God's pushing us. Pushing us. He says, come on, man, go deeper, man. Go deeper. Take this thing seriously and go deeper. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Mary, the end goal is going to be so worth it when you see that through the death of your son, he's going to pay for all the sins of all humanity. And when he rises from the dead, he's going to defeat death in the grave. And God says for all of us, man, you know, in the middle of it, says it's going to be worth it. Just keep serving, keep submitting. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, coming to you out of the NIV. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, the angel didn't tell her everything. Mary would not be able to handle everything. You know what I mean? God does not tell you everything because we wouldn't leave our house. But, like, you mean I got to go through this, this, and this to get to that? Well, that's how it works, you know? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, but God is declaring it. And when God says it, you can take it to the bank. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. That's an important verse for me too, man. You know, God knows the plan. And he's not, in his brilliance, he says, I'm not going to let you in on everything, but let me tell you this, the end result is going to be so worth it, dude. So just serve me. Amen. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful blessing you gave to us, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, that you loved us so much. You laid down your life so we could live forever. You paid for our sins. You paid a debt that you didn't owe so we could be forgiven and live eternally with you. We love you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.